This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of May of the year 2017, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scriptures, there are two of them. One is found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. And the other one is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. And if you have these scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And the second scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The title for this message is Kindergarten Church. Kindergarten Church, and this is going to be part one. It's part three, part message. So we've got part one of a three part message. Now, if you have the scriptures available, like I said, the message for this month, or the subject for this month, essentially takes a look at the one institution that is here to bring us into a full understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter who you are or how old you are, when it comes to your position in Christ, as far as how you are supposed to live your life, you have to come to grips with the fact that without the proper training, so to speak, you are completely as ignorant as a newborn baby. Let's think about a newborn baby for a minute. When they come into this world, they are completely at the mercy of those that are around them. They don't know what they are. They don't know who you are. You could be a friend or foe, but they have no idea of what that means. The only thing they know is they have been in a place where it was dark and relatively quiet. Everything was peaceful. Then, after some time, they are removed from that place of solitude and put in a place where there is a lot of noise and light, and they are frightened, so they start crying. Then when someone wraps them up in a nice warm blanket and they are placed in the arms of their parent and rocked a little bit, they calm down and begin to adjust to this new environment and begin to feel at ease. Over the course of the following days, weeks, months, and years, they begin to learn how to do certain things and hopefully what not to do, all for the express purpose of being a good child that knows right and wrong. Now, why is this necessary? So that they can be productive and a productive addition to our society. The major portion of that learning, however, comes when they are placed in school. It is the school that has the responsibility of working with the parents to mold this child into an individual that hopefully will contribute positively to our society. From the natural standpoint, have you ever thought about the fact that in the natural order of things, you always have to teach a child to do good, or to do the good and right things? They inherently will do things that are not considered positive behavior because, as the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 15, it says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them." Now, notice this naughty behavior manifests itself at birth. As soon as the baby is taken from the womb, they begin to cry. They do this because someone has disturbed them and they don't like it. And the only thing that stops them is when someone does something to make them feel better. Have you noticed how children will begin to manipulate their parents by crying until the parent or someone does something to make them feel better? Well, that is selfish behavior, and if not addressed early, will lead to big problems somewhere down the road in life. Well, the point is, this is only one example of the types of behavior that need to be corrected. My point is, education is the key to get an individual to begin a proper fit, to become a proper fit in society. Without it, disaster is looming. This is why the school systems start at what is called the kindergarten level and slowly mold the child up until they become an adult at the 12th grade. It is a slow process, but the reward, hopefully, is even if they don't go to college or university or any postgraduate endeavors, they will be ready to take their place and be a productive member of society. The school system usually will not or should not pass a child on to a higher grade until they have mastered those skills that are deemed necessary to move on up. Sad to say, however, in certain areas of our society in this nation, some schools do exactly that. They push a child on up to the next level when they need to remain where they are until they get things right. The result is, if and when they graduate, they become a burden on society because they are unprepared to cope with the basic things that all of us face. So what happens in the long run is they remain as little kids that have to have someone else take care of them to make them feel good. If that doesn't happen, they have a fit and began to do things that will land them in jail or the cemetery. If you can understand that, then you can understand the subject for this month's message. The scenario is about the same, but with a twist. The individual does not have to be a little child physically. They can be, but they can also be any age as long as they are alive, and when they come to Christ, they spiritually are babies. And as babies, they carry the same characteristics as our natural babies exhibit, in that they have their own personalities that, in relation to God, need to be changed to conform into what will make them a positive or productive influence in not only the body of Christ, but also in the world. And just as the education system in society starts out with babies and molds them into adults, the church needs to do the same thing. If the church does not do this, then there will be chaos because things will not go right in the life of that individual, and they will continually be the cause of problems for those around them. In a basic sense, just like our physical baby was in the womb where there was peace and quiet and no one disturbed them, life as they knew it was just fine. However, When a person comes to Christ, there is a radical change in things, and in order to cope with these things, the individual has to learn to deal with them. The mission of the church is to first bring man back to God, and second, tear down all the things that stand in opposition to that goal. In this process of bringing man back to God, the church has to educate the individual as to what spiritual condition they are in. That means they have to be made aware of the fact that they are sinners. Romans chapter 3 verses 10 through and 11 say, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after the Lord, or seeketh after God." And then go down to verse number 23 in that same chapter. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, in comparing this condition to God, it means that unless an individual is willing to change their behavior and seek God to follow His direction for their lives, they are destined for destruction in this life and hell and eternal damnation for the next life. God doesn't want this for them, so He has put the church here to try to prevent that from happening. Ultimately, it is up to the individual to make this decision. And usually, any person in their right mind, knowing all the facts, would choose to make that change. Well, when they make that change, they essentially enter into the kingdom of God as a newborn baby. And what did I say about newborns? They have to be trained or educated into becoming a productive member of the society or the church. And just like it is up to the parents and society to mold that child, so too it is up to Christ and the church to mold this newborn babe into a mature individual ready to take their part in furthering the mission of the church. Now, using the example of the school system, which starts out as the kindergarten level and works its way up to the 12th grade and beyond, the church should be doing the exact same thing. It should take this newborn baby Christian and begin to mold them into a mature Christian, ready to go out and to accomplish the second goal of the church, which is to tear down all the things that the enemy has put in place to prevent it, the church, from accomplishing its main mission, which is bringing man back to God. Well, just how is the church supposed to do this? Through Sunday school and Bible study. Actually, the two work together because they take in account one premier function, and that is, as I said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, our subject scripture, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the difference between Sunday school and Bible study is this. Sunday school essentially is conducted for about an hour on Sundays before the main worship service. In it, depending on the denomination, the lesson for that particular Sunday is a precursor to what the sermon that is going to be preached in the worship service later is about. This way, the participants can better understand the sermon and take away a deeper understanding of that message as compared to someone that has no prior enlightenment. Bible study, on the other hand, is where the people get together for about 2 hours thereabouts and get into a deeper understanding of other scriptures and how they apply to our present day lifestyles. It is during this time that those with questions can ask the minister for more details about the particular subject being taught. Sometimes it may be an extension of the Sunday sermon where more clarification is needed, or it can be totally different. It depends on the particular church. However, the key is to mold the individual into someone that can best be described as a mature representative of Jesus Christ. Take a look at these scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Romans chapter number 8, verse number 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." If you will notice the capitalized parts of each of those scriptures that I just read, you will see the terms that speak of change, becoming new, and different mindsets. In a nutshell, in order to become a mature representative of Christ, your entire mindset has to be changed from carnal to spiritual. Well, what does that mean? First, you have to know what the terms carnally minded and spiritually minded mean. A person that is brought up to think and act as those that have no knowledge of Christ are carnally minded. This means they face and deal with life and its problems based on what they and society feels is appropriate. Sometimes society may find certain behaviors unacceptable and encourage people to reject those actions, like murder, rape, stealing, and other things. These things are also rejected by Christ as well. However, don't get the idea that society is in agreement with God, because they are not. To the contrary, they just find these things and other things so reprehensible that they have no desire to see them as part of society. However, as time goes on and society becomes more liberal in its thinking, they may change the laws to allow them. The Bible addresses this phenomenon in the following scripture. Go to Romans chapter number 2. We're going to read verses 13 down through 15. It says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the," verse number 14, "for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves." Verse 15, "which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Shortly put, it means even though the laws of carnally minded man agree with God's laws, God does not honor them because man is following his laws and not God's laws. It's somewhat like me going into a store and seeing something laying on the floor that an employee didn't see, and I pick it up and put it back on the shelf. The store has no obligation to pay me because I don't work for them. By the same token, if you do something good but you are not saved, God owes you nothing. I will get more into this next month. Well, that's the end of this part, number one. And I'll save my comments for the end of part number three. So until we get into that area, let me just say that may God bless you and your families real good until we get together for those other parts of this three-part series. God bless you and have a good day.